Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine, as together we're reimagining the future of education one inspired story at a time. Today, we're actually going to be focusing on leadership, something which personally I think is sorely lacking when I take a look around just in society in general. It seems to be that leadership has taken a back seat. There's a lot of people that follow. There are a lot of people that do not question. They're not necessarily making the right decisions for everybody. They're making the right decisions for themselves, but not necessarily looking out at the community. And it's like, well, what can we actually do about this? And of course, everyday leadership, you don't need a badge. You don't need a title in order to step up, take initiative, and show some leadership. So whilst thinking about this week, pondering about this, I thought, okay, well, what does leadership look when we are teaching particularly children and teenagers? Because ultimately, our education system, at least the last 100 years, have pretty much imposed lots of ideals and ideology that which is not in the favor of growing and enhancing and nurturing leadership and leadership opportunities. I mean, don't get me wrong, there might be the token school camp where they have to step up and lead, but I'm talking everyday leadership, moment to moment, because most of the, and I am talking very broadly here, most of the education systems, the adults make all of the decisions and basically just tell children what to do and don't give them the chance to step up and lead and make their mistakes. And so I do want to bring this up today as a conversation so we can stop and reflect. Okay, well, where am I at? What's my leadership like? So really think about yourself and your situation, your friends, your family, your neighbours. And if you are in the privileged role of being a parent or an educator and you have younger children and teenagers, you know, even in university, just reflect on what opportunities they have to step up and show leadership, and what does that even mean, basically. So, I mean, I've already mentioned that leadership's not about titles and roles, but and everything in this show today is purely from my perspective. Personally, I feel that leadership is really more about responsibility, and I don't mean reacting. No, responding. Responding ably is responsibility. Someone who can respond to a situation in an able and competent way, whether it be to take charge and make a decision, whether it be to delegate, whether it be to help plan so that decisions can be made and actions can be taken. That responsibility and responding ably is really the crux of what leadership is all about. And young people, when they're given authentic responsibility, not superficial responsibility, they really do develop stronger motivation and problem-solving skills and that self-efficacy. And I, for one, feel that this is an area that is well worth investigating and well worth having a look at to say, okay, what are we already doing really well in this area, and what have we maybe hadn't even considered before that we could possibly start doing? So what can we stop doing? What can we start doing? What can we continue doing in our role in fostering everyday leadership? So You can't lead other people, and of course, that's all about relationships, but you cannot lead other people until you lead yourself first. So self-leadership has to come first. I mean, you can't manage, if you can't manage your own choices and your own emotions and your own energy, then how on earth are you going to lead other people? And I don't know about you, but leaders that I look up to, they don't have it perfect, but they really fit, they seem calm and they seem quite centered in themselves, which is why you're sort of drawn to them and trust them, because they can think clearly. They're not over emotional and reactional, and they do like to look at all angles, time frame pending, of course, before making a decision. They're not necessarily rash and easy to manipulate because they have that integrity and that resilience, and they have that self-trust. And that's really appealing, someone that is self-assured and self-trust. Now, I'm not talking arrogance, and I'm not talking people who have that power, that like have that power trip. I'm talking just that quiet self-confidence and self-trust. And this can be the foundation of leadership in any age. You can be 90 years old, you can be 4 years old. You can still have that sense of integrity and relief, and resilience. Goodness me, I'm so tongue-tied today. And self-trust. So that whole be your best self, the thoughts of practicing reflection in yourself to be able to become your best self, showing gratitude, of course. Gratitude has a lot to do with everything, basically appreciating what it is that you have, really intentionally living, not just floating along life by default, doing what you're told, following all the self, a subconscious programming, because let's face this, most of us are still running on programming that we were taught by our parents, by our learning institutions, by your churches or religions, wherever that may look like, and by your society, the social engineering of your society. Most of us are actually just running along by default on all of the programming that we have had, from birth, basically, when you think about that. So, intentional living is essential if you want to be a good leader. And all of these things that I've mentioned really do grow our personal compass. What's our own North Star? What's a hill worth dying on? Where is my values? Where do I draw the line and say, yeah, no, you've stepped over the line. This is where I draw the line. This is really important. And that leader then steps up to do what's right, not necessarily what's popular. But it's the right thing to do because they've got that integrity of whatever it is that they feel is their personal compass. And these things that I'm discussing really are essential for ethical and purposeful leadership. And I'm not talking children that, I keep thinking about my childhood when I would go out and play on the beach with my brother and all the neighborhood friends. There were lots of opportunities to step up and lead in that situation when we were going on adventures and having a picnic or building a fort or exploring a cave or whatever it was that we happened to do. Yes, you can have natural leadership to step up in that space, but it's also that purposeful leadership where you're leading to create something at the same time. So it can go deeper than the leadership that's in the play space as well. And so there seems to be three levels. So when I did a little bit of research about leadership, there's really three levels and of wanting to achieve something. So the first thing is, what is it that the leader wants to achieve? Is there a I don't know, intention, I guess is probably the first word. So to lead with purpose, what's the purpose of leading them? And what is it that you're trying to achieve? So, in order to do that, there needs to be some sort of vision or strategy, so that you can set goals and track progress, and celebrate milestones, of course. But the purpose, also develops persistence and has that moral grounding of what is it that we want to do. And then the learners then understand why they're doing something and then they can stay naturally focused on those meaningful goals. So leading with purpose and ethics is definitely that section where you think, okay, what is it we want to achieve? And that could be, building a chook shed. It could be building a community garden. It could be running a radio station. Let's do a school play. There could be any sort of situation. There is no limit to this, definitely. But certainly keeping the end in mind. What is the purpose? What is it we want to achieve? So go, okay, what's it going to look like? Some sort of community project, or it could even be we want a peaceful learning area. It doesn't have to be something like a thriving garden, but it's almost like that outcome that we want. And then from there, well, okay, if this is the purpose and we've got clarity of vision, then what do we have to do to get that? So it's really good for the leader to then take initiative, really. You don't have to wait for permission. Just step up and begin in moments when you see a need and you can act on it, moving forward, falling forward, even if you're failing, falling forward towards that purpose and that vision. And it could be, tidying up the classroom in a shared space, or welcoming a new student and making them feel like part of the team if you're organizing a class project. It could be starting to plan and having a look at, okay, well, what equipment have we got? What do we not have? So doing that inventory. There's just so many examples, and I could go on all day, basically. But for the doing, it's really also stepping outside your comfort zone. You can't just sort of sit back and stay where you've always been. If you want a new purpose and you want to grow, then there has to be some sort of discomfort. It's very natural because we need to learn. And true growth really happens for children and students when they stretch beyond what is safe for me. And safe doesn't necessarily mean physical safety. It could be psychological safety and their comfort zone. So really encouraging, as an educator, encouraging experimentation helps those children and those students or teenagers, young adults, build confidence and adaptability, and also can help them build their skills to drive innovation that they can then use later on in life, because this is really character building, allowing them to have these opportunities, which of course they cannot do if adults are constantly making all the decisions and if they don't have buy-in to the purpose. So if you don't tap into the heart space of, oh, we really know why we want to do this and we really want to, because they want to contribute. Of course, everyone wants to contribute to society, whether or contribute to a group or contribute to something. And that's where leadership can step up. And if you have touched the hearts and they have really tapped in that space, then certainly that can inspire with the purpose of what do we want, and then of course the getting up and doing. This also really leads to fostering collaboration, because you don't have to have one leader. Everyone, if they're self-leading and self-governing and self-managing their own emotions and energy, can lead in their own special way. You don't have to have an authoritarian approach, and it does not need to be a hierarchy when it comes to leadership. I feel like we've been conditioned to think that there has to be a hierarchy and there has to be one person in charge. There could be different people who are in charge of overseeing certain sections of a project, but why does there need to just be one person at the boss, like the CEO? I'm really starting to question that. If you think about Knights of the Round Table, everyone had a role, everyone had an individual say, and sometimes the person with expertise would step forward and lead for the section that they could guide with, and then they would step back and allow someone else to step forward to lead in the expertise and the passion that they had. So I really want us to have children to have the opportunity to start shifting how leadership is perceived, particularly in Western society. We can already see that it's breaking down in everyday roles, and it's time for change. So when we have a look at the trends and we're having a look in the patterns and feeling into this, and that huge swing towards back to not away from global and back into community-based, smaller So what does that look like? So there's it's lots of really good rich conversations with children because they are the adults of the future. And allowing them to explore this doesn't tell them what to do, doesn't tell them what to decide. It allows them to play and feel safe to foster that collaboration and realize that leadership isn't I will lead you and you will follow me. It's not an I, it's a we collaborative. It's we will follow each other or take direction for certain areas if you're in charge of this section. But it doesn't have to be, I'm just going to follow you, particularly just follow you blindly because you're wearing a name badge or you have a title. It's very dangerous. And I think it's led our society down a very dangerous path. You know, someone can say, oh, you're an expert. Oh, you've written a book. You're an expert. You have a name badge. Then I must default to you and completely leave my critical thinking and not and completely ignore what my own intuition is telling me. So that's not self-leading at all. It's the exact opposite of it. And it's time to come back and allow children to have the opportunity to explore this so that we can foster that everyday leadership. Doesn't have to be fancy, doesn't have to be pretty. But it's certainly going to hold us steadier in a more calm and centered society if everyone is able to self-lead and step up when they need to and they see initiative. They don't need permission. They just see a need in the community and they step up and help. So, and contribute. So really it's about co-creating solutions, I guess is the word. You know, see a problem. Find a solution and co-create the solution. It doesn't have to be the hero has to come in and save the day. You know, our movies have certainly conditioned us. You know, the princesses have to wait for the prince and everybody has to wait for the hero. Whatever gender the hero is, it doesn't really matter, to step up and take charge. Well, you know, newsflash, that's not everyday reality. We need everyday heroes. We need everyday people. Men, women, boys, girls, children, mankind to just step up in every day and lead in their own little life, lead in their own little community. That will shift our reality very, very quickly. I feel this is also because teams, you know, when I say a team, that's actually even the wrong word because team, the connotation of team is competition because I go straight to sport. We're competing against each other. So perhaps groups might be a better word. I'm not quite sure. But, you know, groups that value a shared voice, everyone having a say, diversity of ideas, those sorts of groups of students that I have taught in the past and helped nurture and encourage in the past, they are the ones that outperform. In every way, any group or team that is led by an individual who really just wants that recognition. So, you know, the I team versus the group, who really like to have that shared voice and that co-creation. And this is the vision. This is where this is possible. This is possible. However, is not going to gain traction if only pockets of people doing it. We really need to it to spread far and wide that people stop and take a look at this. And this is worth, you know, I encourage you, whoever it is that's listening now, to not only reflect on your own life, feel into, well, what can I do about this? Who can I talk to about this? Because do other people feel this way? Because planting the seed of the idea can really spark and create a ripple effect in this space. It's worth having the conversation and it's certainly worth taking stock and going, oh, how do I lead? What do I do? Am I leading myself first? Am I clear on the purpose of what is it I actually want? And if I do that, then I really need to plan towards that vision. So what goals am I going to take? What action am I actually going to take in order to follow that? So it's that whole have, what do I want to have? What do I have to do? But in order to do that, who do I need to be? So who am I? Who do I need to be in order for that to happen? So those three layers are actually really important. And this is nothing new. There's lots of research around this sort of framework that's out there. And of course, as you know, every week I write an article that I publish on BBS radio.com. And this week's article, I have created and looked at all of the different leadership activities that I have used over my last 30 plus years in education. Some of them for early childhood, some of them just for, your middle-aged children, all the way up to university level children. And some of these activities have been very valuable in doing all of the things that I have discussed. So all of those activities will be at the back of the article. Feel free to share it, adapt it, do whatever you want with it. It's there, it's free. It's literally there to just inspire. And allow people to get started if they're not quite sure. If you're sitting there going, well, how do I do this? Well, my question to you is, how good can it get? Because it can get really good. You can do this just by every day reflecting and people asking questions and allowing people to naturally get out of their own way and step up and lead and take initiative. It can be that simple. Practicing deep listening to understand is a huge leadership deficit at the moment. There's a lot of people that listen because they want to respond and they want to have their say and they want to have their opinion, but they're not necessarily checking for understanding and listening, truly listening to what other people have to say. They just want to respond. So that fostering of the empathy and the trust are really cornerstones of strong leadership and community because you can't lead others without relationship, and which comes down to trust. And how do you build trust? Well, you listen. You listen to the other person. You don't judge. You just listen and then you communicate. And sometimes that's checking for understanding because we're all constantly coming at things from different perspectives. And just because someone says something doesn't mean I'm seeing it in the same way because of my own lived experiences. So practicing deep listening definitely is part of who do I need to be that leader. Communication is also essential. I have seen it over and over and over, and I've lived this myself. I've dropped the ball sometimes when I've led big teams. I've been in education leadership for many, many years. And if I don't communicate clearly, everything falls apart. It's not a solid foundation. So that communicating and then teaching children, students, to speak with kindness, assertiveness, not aggressiveness, but to be assertive. Sometimes you have to just put the boundaries in and say, no, this was the deadline. This is what we agreed. And holding people to account with clarity and communicating very clearly. You can't hold people to account if they're not clear on what it is they need to do. That has to be communicated. And telling someone once is not communicating. Sometimes it needs to be communicated several times and also visually so that people can go back and have a look and check, checklists and visual resources certainly help with communicating whatever the vision, the plan, the goals, the actions are going to be. All of these are really great learning tools for children who are playing in this space, but it also it brings clarity and it strengthens confidence and it strengthens connection because everyone can move in the same direction if everyone comprehends what it is that they're doing and what the purpose is because it's been communicated clearly by the leader or leaders. So that building team capacity, thinking we, not I, the leadership really expands when they can empower other people and then the leader doesn't have to do all the work. That's where you burn out. So, you encourage that peer mentoring. You can do this in any classroom at any age. Peer mentoring, collaborative projects, collaborative reflection, all of this grows capacity. And that's something that many educators are doing already, I know, and they're doing such an amazing job. And some may have, might have done it in the past, but be so busy trying to cram in the curriculum now, go, I don't have time for this. Well, actually, we need time for this because it's affecting our future. If we're just constantly imposing on children and cramming through the curriculum because we have to get that report card written, that assessment piece done, and we're not allowing opportunity for any sort of leadership to come forward. What sort of adults are we nurturing here? What sort of world and future are we going to have when we have children who are literally graduating from school and they don't know how to think for themselves and they don't know everyday skills or hey, how do we even make a decision? They just want to be told what to do. You know, that is not a nation of thinkers. That is just employees. Where's the entrepreneurial spirit? And basically, that is a very dangerous place to be because then they're not questioning authority when it is misused, which we see all the time in this society as well. So it's not, I don't have time for this. It's it's almost like the, I don't have time to exercise and eat well. Well, then you better make time to get sick because that's what's coming for you if you don't make the time. The same thing with leadership. If we don't make the time for us to be able to allow children to develop these skills naturally and encourage them to step up, then we are staring down the barrel of a future of it's not good. It's not a good perspective. I don't even want to give it energy because we're not going there. We're definitely not going there. So I'm going to delete that thought straight away and swing it back around to the fact that there are already a lot of people who are exploring and expressing this space. And if you're listening to this right now, then you're one of those people because even if it's just a conversation or a self-reflection on what you're doing, that's helping the collective, you know, the human collective. We're all working towards this vision together. What is it we need to do? We need to foster everyday, simple, everyday leadership. I'm looking at the clock going, oh my goodness, I'm running out of time. So I'm not going to have time to talk about all of the activities that I've planned and that I have on my article. The last thing I wanted to talk about leadership was also to be adaptable. You know, it's a changing world. It's changing so quickly. I'm not the same person I was last week, let alone today. We have to be flexible. We need that emotional agility. We have to be centered in who and what we are, and we need to be ready to pivot gracefully when a natural problem arrives so that we can become a problem solver. We can't be dig our heels in and say, no, this is the only way, this is tradition. No, we have to be innovators and we need to grace and ease. Grace and ease are the words that are coming to me. We have to be flexible in our changing world, but we also have to keep thinking steps ahead. Keep that vision in front of you of what is the purpose, what is it that we actually want in our society. So I'm about to wrap it up, but some of the activities I had were things like kindness captains, garden guardians, listening leaders, classroom helpers. That's more for the early childhood section, and there's all different activities around those. For the primary school, you know, around ages 7 to 12, there were like leadership through actions, like group challenges, like creating a recycling system or improving the school playground, those sorts of things, values and actions, certainly creating vision boards, peer mentoring and buddies, and then circles of solutions, of course, where they can brainstorm in small groups to create solutions, which certainly fosters leadership. Then in secondary school, there's, you know, leading your self challenges. There's community action projects, of course, which are amazing. Silent leadership, which is where there's a really a group challenge that's given, and they're not allowed, they don't talk whatsoever. And they have that opportunity to lead through non-verbal leadership. It's a really quite powerful activity. There's ethical dilemmas, we not me campaigns, strategic thinking workshops. So all of those are for the older students. You can of course have leadership journals. Student voice circles are very powerful. My gosh, I might actually even do a whole show on that because it's such a good strategy to have. And then celebrating leadership moments. So there, that's sort of the very short version of what you'll find in this article. And if you want to check it out, you can go to bbsradio.com/ All Learning Reimagined, and you'll find all the articles and all the archived shows right there. And that's all we have time for today. But I love your work. I can't wait to hear. Thank you for everyone who contacts me. All of the ways that you're going to take this and run with it. And I know you're all over it anyway, of course. We all are. We all are works in progress because we lead every day. It's nothing new. None of this, nothing that I've said is anything new. So thanks for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.